I realized too, I should have, in excelsis Deo, anyone know what that means? Glory to God in the highest. I should have explained that to you too, not assuming that you knew that. But glory to God in the highest was what we were singing in that song there. All right, so Ruth chapter 3, let's turn to the text first. And we'll read Ruth chapter 3 this morning. One day, Ruth's mother-in-law, Naomi, said to her, "My daughter, I must find a home for you where you will be well provided for. Now Boaz, with whose woman you have worked, is a relative of ours. Tonight he will be winnowing barley on the threshing floor. Wash, put on perfume, and get dressed in your best clothes. Then go down to the threshing floor, but don't let him know you are there until he has finished eating and drinking. When he lies down, note the place where he is lying. Then go and uncover his feet and lie down. He will tell you what to do." "I will do whatever you say," Ruth answered. So she went down to the threshing floor and did everything her mother-in-law told her to do. When Boaz had finished eating and drinking and was in good spirits, he went over to lie down at the far end of the grain pile. Ruth approached quietly, uncovered his feet, and lay down. In the middle of the night, something startled the man. He turned, and there was a woman lying at his feet. "Who are you?" he asked. "I am your servant Ruth," she said. "Spread the corner of your garment over me, since you are a guardian redeemer of our family." "The Lord bless you, my daughter," he replied. "This kindness is greater than that which you showed earlier. You have not run after the younger men, whether rich or poor. And now, my daughter, don't be afraid. I will do for you all you ask. All the people of my town know that you are a woman of noble character. Although it is true that I am a guardian redeemer of our family, there is another who is more closely related than I. Stay here for the night, and in the morning, if he wants to do his duty as your guardian redeemer, good, let him redeem you. But if he is not willing, as surely as the Lord lives, I will do it. Lie here until morning." So she lay at his feet until morning, but got up before anyone could be recognized. And he said, "No one must know that a woman came to the threshing floor." He also said, "Bring me the shawl you are wearing and hold it out." When she did, he poured into it 6 measures of barley and placed the bundle on her. Then he went back to town. When Ruth came to her mother-in-law, Naomi asked, "How did it go, my daughter?" Then she told her everything Boaz had done for her, and added, "He gave these 6 measures of barley, saying, 'Don't go back to your mother-in-law empty-handed.'" Then Naomi said, "Wait, my daughter, until you find out what happens, for the man will not rest until the matter is settled today." Would you pray with me? Father in heaven, as we come to you here now, We see in this passage a faith that is seeking redemption. And we ask, Father, you would help all of us, whether maybe for the first time today or again and again in this life that we walk with you, that we would seek our redemption in the Redeemer. We would look for our rest in the Redeemer. So help us to see that in this text this morning. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So, when you think about a resting place, what do you think of? That's typically a term we use for a grave, right? Someone's resting place is the grave. They've lived their lives, however long it was, and their remains get buried. That's the resting place that they're in. And why do we call it that? Well, it's actually a very fitting term in some ways, right? There's, for most of what the world believes, no more life left to be lived for that person. That's where they will be for however long everything is around. And we might say things like rest in peace, even. But what if there is a resting place that's far better than the grave?
If you're here, you probably know that there is, or at least hope there is, right? A resting place far better than a hole that your remains get put in. Right? Our world often talks about the grave like it's a place of relief, which it is in many ways, where all of someone's problems go away and cease, but that's not 100% true. What if it is a better way to think about it, that a resting place isn't a location, but a person? That God made us not to find rest in a certain spot, but in a certain man, a certain redeemer. Not a place where we cease to be, but a place where there's a person who has delivered us from all of the desperate circumstances we might face in our lives, even death itself. What if God has provided a redeemer to do this for our souls? Well, he has, and that man is Jesus Christ. So we've been in the book of Ruth for 3 weeks now. This is our third week here. If you know the story or you've been here, you know Naomi and Ruth, these two women, are in desperate circumstances. Both widows. They both lost their husbands. Naomi has lost both her sons. They have no one to provide for them or to protect them. They went away into enemy territory, even after other gods. They were searching for rest in other places. And now they've come back to the promised land empty-handed. This passage is very similar to the passage last week, if you remember. So the passage last week started with Naomi and Ruth, these two women together. And then there's a scene with Ruth and Boaz, and then back together with Naomi and Ruth again. Same structure this week. And a reason why we point that out is because authors do that on purpose. Often structure in a passage reveals meaning and emphasis. But there are two main differences in the passage last week and this week. The author's doing this on purpose to try to get us to see it. Last week, the main character was Boaz, this redeemer. This week, the main character is Ruth, the one who's searching for redemption. Last week, if you remember, everything happened during daytime in a field where there was gleaning and harvesting. This passage, as you heard, everything is at night and very private compared to public at the passage last week. So what the author is doing here is drawing our attention to Ruth's faith. And we'll see, which kids, on the back of your bulletin there, your children's bulletin, this is the main point that we're going to talk about today. Faith seeks its resting place in the Redeemer. Faith seeks, or faith finds its resting place in the Redeemer, or its home in the Redeemer. Where am I seeing that? Right in verse 1. You see where Naomi says, in verse 1, she's looking for, "My daughter, I must find a home for you." That word for home there in the text means resting place. Not just a building. She's not just looking for a house for Ruth to live in, but a resting place. And then she describes what she means right after that in verse 1. She says, "The resting place, this home where you will be well provided for." Or other translations say, "where she will be well taken care of." And we see in Ruth's example of faith that faith seeks its resting place in the Redeemer. What is a Redeemer? Kids, you have a question there too. What is a Redeemer? Easy way to think about it. Someone who delivers you from desperate circumstances. What is a Redeemer? Someone who delivers you from desperate circumstances. And what are Ruth's desperate circumstances? Well, for her, she's a foreigner that's come from enemy territory, now amongst God's people. But she's in a land where all of the land is divided up into inheritances. So it's like if you tried to move to, say, Woodstock, and there was no plot of land to even live on. Nothing that you could have long term. And she has no husband, which means she has no possibility of having a child, an heir, which was a big deal at this time. This is how she would have land for the future and somewhere to take care of her, protect her. There's no king in the land in Israel right now. So everyone, if you know the book of Judges, everyone's doing what is right in their own eyes. This is not a good time to be living in. But we see in Ruth's circumstances that God in his law has provided a way for her to be redeemed. So you'll see in this passage, Ruth goes to this guy. If you've never read the Bible or you don't know the story before, she lays down at his feet, uncovers them, asks her to have refuge under his wings. What is she talking about there? What is she getting at there? Well, there's a law in God's law in Deuteronomy. I'm going to read it so you have the background for it. This is from Deuteronomy 25, talking about if a woman, her husband died, how would God take care of her in the land? This is Deuteronomy 25, verse 5. This says, if brothers dwell together and one of them dies and has no son, the wife of the dead man shall not be married outside the family to a stranger. Her husband's brother shall go in and take her as his wife and perform the duty of a husband's brother to her. And the first son whom she bears shall succeed the name of the dead brother, that his name may not be blotted out of Israel. And if the man does not wish to take his brother's wife, then his brother's wife shall go up to the gate to the elders and say, my husband's brother refuses to perpetuate his brother's name in Israel. He will not perform the duty of a husband's brother to me. The elders of the city shall call him and speak to him, and if he persists, saying, I do not wish to take her, then his brother's wife shall go up to him in the presence of the elders and pull off his sandal off his foot and spit in his face. Shame this guy. And she shall answer and say, so it shall be done to the man who does not build up his brother's house. And the name of his house shall be called Israel, the house of him who has his sandal pulled off. Now, we'll get more what that looks like in the passage next week. But these are the circumstances that Ruth is in. So Ruth has married into this family, but now her husband is passed. And she's back in the promised land, and she's seeking redemption, meaning a man who is the closest relative there is, who would marry her and provide a son, provide an heir, so that she could get her inheritance in the land and she could live there. And not just for her, but for her mother-in-law, Naomi, because this would be Elimelech's line as well. She married into this family. This is what Naomi was referring to in chapter 2 when she said that this man, Boaz, is a close relative. He's a guardian redeemer, a family redeemer. So Ruth's circumstances are here. She needs to be married, or else this is the end of the line for her. And she needs a son even, or it's the end of the line for her and for Boaz. Not just married, but a son. And all of this circumstances is up in the air right now. What are the desperate circumstances in your life, if you think about them? What are the areas of your life you feel like you need deliverance in? That it seems maybe there's been a tragedy in your life and you can't escape it. Or maybe you just keep going after the same sin over and over again, like the prodigal son, away from God, and you can't find your way back. What are areas of your life that you need redemption in? In these circumstances, we see that what Ruth's faith does when she needs redemption is that her faith seeks its resting place in the Redeemer. And we're going to look at five things her faith does. First thing her faith does that we see in this passage, her faith receives the good news that it's possible to find rest in the Redeemer. We see that in verses 1 through 4. So Naomi wants Ruth to go and find a home, find a resting place in the Redeemer. And Boaz might be that guy, so Naomi tells Ruth to go to him. And Ruth receives that news in verse 5. She says, I will go and do everything that you said. Whatever your desperate circumstances are, whether they're like Ruth's or not, no matter where you've been, no matter what you've done, no matter how far away you've gone from God, maybe you've never heard this news before and you're hearing it for the first time right now. There is a Redeemer who can forgive you and deliver you from all of your desperate circumstances. Amen. There is a Redeemer, and faith, what faith does is receives that good news. There is one who can redeem all of your desperate circumstances, even from your guilty conscience and your own sin. And his name is Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And we're not talking about here of you come to Jesus and all of your life problems go away. Ruth has come to God in this passage. She still has things she needs to be delivered from, but you will find rest for your soul. Do you feel weary for your sin? Do you feel heavy laden by the suffering you're facing? Jesus, in his own words, said, come to me, all of you. That's what qualifies you. Are you weary or heavy laden? Come to him, and he will give you rest. He will be your redeemer. There is one who can grant you rest from all your sin and all your striving. And the question is, do you believe that? Do you receive that? To believe just means to receive that good news. That is the gospel. There is a Redeemer who can redeem you from your sin and all of your desperate circumstances. Do you receive that good news like Ruth does? What do we see that faith does next? Faith goes to the Redeemer. So see how personal and private and vulnerable this is for Ruth. Ruth doesn't just receive this news. She goes to her Redeemer, her potential Redeemer, even in this passage. So she goes to Boaz when no one else is around. Often, a person would be sleeping at the threshing floor because this guy probably was winnowing all of his harvest, and he would sleep there to protect his harvest overnight because time of the judges, everyone did what was right in their own eyes. People would come and steal the harvest that he had. So Naomi knew that Boaz was going to be sleeping there, and she's putting herself in a very vulnerable spot. Again, time of the judges. She's traveling at night. She's going into the presence of a man alone who's a lot more powerful than she is. But notice how she dresses and perfumes herself like a bride. Remember, Ruth had lost her husband, a lot of mourning, leaving her father and mother to come into the promised land. And this is a signal, how she's dressing and acting, that her mourning is over, that she's seeking redemption. She's known this guy, Boaz, for probably a couple months, right? It hasn't been very long. It's just these couple harvests. And she comes to him empty-handed, only with the request that this guy, Boaz, would redeem her. And this is the same way that we come to Christ by faith. It's a private and vulnerable act, right? We come to him having heard the good news, having heard and received the news there is a Redeemer for us. And so we, in the privateness of our own hearts, come to him empty-handed, asking him for redemption. So we see here in Ruth's faith that her faith doesn't sit there and wait around. It goes to the Redeemer. It acts, moves towards him. Ruth even initiates here in verse 9. Not to say, young woman, you should be asking guys to marry you. That's not the point here. She is appealing to God's covenant promise, a promise God made, and asking for redemption. Way different than just asking for marriage. She's asking for her whole life and for her mother-in-law to be redeemed. So we see that faith goes to the Redeemer, here a potential Redeemer in Boaz. But for our faith, if you go to Christ, Christ is the Redeemer of all who come to him by faith, asking for redemption. Third, what do we see in Ruth's faith? We see that faith appeals to God's covenant promises. And we see this in verse 9. Look at what Ruth says in verse 9. So Boaz asks, "Who are you?" Doesn't know who she is. She says, "I am your servant, Ruth." Notice, earlier in the book, she was a slave, a servant in the field there. This word she uses here is more of now she's here to serve him. Their relationship has changed. She says, "Spread the corner of your garment over me, since you are a guardian redeemer of our family. Spread your wings over me." You could translate that here. Just like Boaz said that's in the passage last week, Ruth had come to God, and it's as if God had spread his wings over her. This is where she found refuge. Ruth is asking Boaz here to find refuge under his wings, redemption under his wings. And what we see here is that Ruth's faith isn't a blind faith. She doesn't come to Boaz just asking to get married, remember? She's coming here, she's asking for redemption according to God's law because she knows God's law. She knows God's covenant promises, and she knows that Boaz, being a close relative, has an obligation to fulfill these promises before God, or else to be shamed, like the guy in the passage I read earlier. And in the same way, faith in Christ the Redeemer, it goes to God and it calls on the promises of God that we know are true in Christ. It says even to Christ, "You promised to be a Redeemer to me, now do for me what you promised, Christ." So a question for us is, whether you followed him for the first time, maybe today, or forever, do you know the covenant promises of your Redeemer? Faith receives the good news, it moves towards the Redeemer, but then it also appeals to the covenant promises of the Redeemer. So when you struggle with your faith, do you go to passages like 1 Thessalonians? Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus. He who calls you is faithful. He will surely do it. Or when you're anxious about your circumstances, do we come to the Redeemer, Christ, and say his words when he said, "Fear not, little flock, for it is the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." Or when we're struggling with sin, when you have a guilty conscience and you're looking for where to go to redemption, do we remember it's the unrighteous that won't inherit the kingdom of God? But such were some of us. But we were washed and we were sanctified and we were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. So see, faith isn't just a blind faith. Faith goes to a certain Redeemer even, Jesus Christ, and appeals to God on behalf of what he promised he said he would do through the Redeemer. Fourth, faith makes us into a people of noble character. So we see in verses 10, 11 there, Boaz says, Ruth, this is how she's acting now, is an extra measure of kindness. What does he mean by that? He says she could have gone and married some of younger men, older men, poorer men, rich men. In other words, Ruth's life may have been a lot easier if she just went, she could have just married some guy from a field. Or she could have just gone back to her homeland. But what is Boaz pointing to? Ruth came to Naomi's God and Naomi's people into the promised land. And now she's seeking not just redemption for herself, but redemption for her mother-in-law, Naomi. Her faith in the God she trusted transformed how she lived. This makes no sense unless she has faith in God, how she's acting. She could have just gone back to her homeland. Her father and mother were still there. Probably could have married there. Probably could have had a land inheritance there. But she chose to come here knowing what it might mean. Not even knowing there was a Redeemer here for her. She might have lived her whole life empty-handed, taking care of her mother-in-law, Naomi. But here she acts again in faith, showing that her trust in God transforms how she lives. So we see in her faith here that this is a great act of love even towards Naomi, right? Naomi is out to dry. She's too old to remarry. She's too old to have children. She has no shot of getting her inheritance back. So this is a great act of love that Ruth has towards Naomi, which just points us to the greatest act of love there is. Right, Jesus, as much as this is an amazing act of love, Jesus said, no one has greater love than this, that someone laid down his life for his friends, and then he did it, that he might take it up again. Right, he did this, he planned this before the foundation of the world. Set his love upon you if you come to him for redemption, to redeem you. Fifth, what do we see Ruth's faith does? Her faith waits patiently for redemption. This might be the hardest part. Faith waits patiently for redemption. So Boaz made it clear that redemption's going to happen in the morning, whether it's him or some other guy doing it. He said it's going to happen. He's going to make it happen either way. But I wonder what Ruth would have thought in this moment. Think about how much she put herself out there, right? She goes to this guy, very vulnerable, very personal. She might have thought Boaz was going to give her an answer right there. And Boaz's news to her, she has to wait until morning. There's another thing she has to wait for happen, another domino to fall. But notice here, Boaz, in her waiting, he doesn't send her away empty-handed for waiting for her redemption to be complete. He sends her off with 6 measures of barley. And we're not sure how much that is. What is a measure? It's not even clear in the text. It might have been around 60 pounds or something, a lot of weight to carry for a young woman here. But the more significant point might be the number 6 in what it symbolizes. 6 in the Old Testament especially symbolizes incompleteness. Not yet full, almost full, but not quite yet there. And so we see Ruth, as she waits for redemption, is living in a now and not yet. Do you see it there? Her redemption is coming. She knows it's going to come in the morning, but it is not complete yet. So she has to wait. She has even an installment of seed she takes away with her, waiting for the final installment of seed that will mean her redemption. She has the first fruits of it now as she waits, awaiting the fullness of her redemption that is going to come. And our redemption works the same exact way. We know from the Bible that God the Father, as we saw in Colossians, we thank him because he's qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. In this life right now, Paul says he's transferred us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. But we are not yet there in the fullness of our redemption, brothers and sisters. Paul says in Romans, even now all of creation groans and waits for this redemption. Paul says, Romans 8, we who have the first fruits of the Spirit groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we are saved. Now hope that is seen is not hope, for who hopes for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. So brothers and sisters, in the same way, our redemption works like this. It is, yes, here, forgiveness of sins, but not yet come in its fullness. Our Redeemer has come. He has died. He has risen from the grave to give us forgiveness of sins, but he is coming again. He'll give us resurrected bodies, and we'll get to be with him in our final resting place, with him in the new heavens and the new earth forever. And so Paul says there in Romans, we see in Ruth's example of faith, we wait patiently. We don't hear another word from Ruth here. She just goes to sleep, wakes up in the morning, and then goes and speaks to Naomi about what is to come. Morning is coming for all who trust in Christ. And like we'll sing on Wednesday night, Hark the Herald, the best Christmas song I think there is, the Son of Righteousness is coming. That sunrise is coming when Christ comes again, and that light will shine upon us in all of its fullness. Ruth has to wait patiently here, not just until morning, but for Boaz to settle the matter, and we'll see that Boaz is good on his word. You see that in verse 13? Boaz says, whether it's him or this other guy, as surely as the Lord lives, this matter will happen. And Boaz is just a man, right? He could get struck by lightning. He could die that night. He's saying, as the Lord lives, she will be redeemed. How much more can we say that our redemption, for all who trust in Christ and who have come to him for redemption, that our redemption is sure because the Lord Christ lives. He lives. He rose to purchase our redemption, and he lives forever to give us redemption, not just from the start, but all the way to the finish, because he's alive. He is alive. And while Boaz had no control over who would redeem Ruth, God does. And God has control over who would redeem you, just like Christ said. No one can come to the Father unless the Father who sent him draws him. The one who said he would lay down his life, that he would raise it up again, that those who he redeemed, no one could snatch them out of his hand. This is the Redeemer that we're talking about. While Boaz will see, don't, spoiler alert, will be a great Redeemer, we'll see on Wednesday night, Christ is the Redeemer for all who seek their resting place in him. Jesus Christ is the Redeemer for all who seek their resting place in him. So do you receive that news? There is a Redeemer who can rescue you from all of your desperate circumstances. Your faith just comes to him in all your vulnerability, empty-handed, nothing in your hand you bring, simply clinging to his cross. And hold on to his promises. He'll forgive you of your sin, give you full redemption in time when he comes again. And we see in this passage, even the example of Boaz, Christ will not rest until we find our ultimate resting place. Jesus Christ will not rest until we find our ultimate resting place if we've come to him. Christ redeemed us from start to finish. And if we trust in that, that helps us wait patiently until our redemption is complete. What does Paul say elsewhere? He who began a good work in you will what? Bring it to completion on the day of Jesus Christ, when he comes again, when the Son of Righteousness comes. Jesus will not rest until our rest is complete in him. So by faith, seek your rest in him. That's how we seek our rest in him now as we wait, by faith. work out our own salvation with fear and trembling, for the Redeemer is working us until our rest is complete. Not just until we rest in peace, not just until we're in a grave, but until we rest with him in the greater promised land, far greater than what Ruth and Naomi are going to get here, in the new heavens and the new earth, with our Redeemer for all eternity. So kids, even on the back of your bulletin there, if you can read, you hear me say it, and for all of us, the question is Christ your Redeemer? We all have desperate circumstances. We are all weary and heavy laden. Is Christ your Redeemer? You can find your resting place from all your desperate circumstances in him, and he will not rest if you come to him until it's complete in the new heavens and the new earth. Not another tear to shed, not another suffering to have, not another sin to struggle with. Our Redeemer will not rest until we find our resting place with him. Would you pray with me? Father in heaven, even in this passage here, it is clear that Ruth's hope alone, she has nowhere else to turn. She turns to the covenant-keeping God and his people to be redeemed. God, we have no hope but in Christ alone. Christ taking on human flesh, but not just that, the perfect life he lived, the suffering he went through for us on the cross, his resurrection from the dead, his ascending and ruling and reigning right now, interceding for all of us. So we come even now to the throne of grace and ask, help us. Help us to seek our rest not in this world, not in other Moabs, not in other places, not in other gods, not in other idols, but in Christ alone where our hope is found. God, may that be true maybe of some of us for the first time this Advent season as we see your son clearly. Knowing this isn't just following Christ isn't just an insurance policy for now. It is a holistic redemption that is now and will come in all its fullness when he who promised to come again does. So Father, help us to set our eyes on Christ by faith and to work out our salvation by the grace you give us, knowing you will complete it, that our Redeemer will not rest. He has not rested for all of eternity, even before the foundation of the world. He will not rest until our resting place is complete and found in him. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you stand and sing?
Christ alone, my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground, from through the fiercest drought and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are still, when striving cease. My comforter, my all in all, here in the love of Christ I stand. In Christ alone, who took on flesh, fullness of God in helpless babe. This gift of love and righteousness, sworn by the ones he came to save. Till on that cross, as Jesus died, the wrath of God was satisfied. For every sin on him was laid. Here in the death of Christ I live. There in the ground his body lay, light of the world by darkness slain. Then bursting forth in glorious day, up from the grave he rose. Stands in victory,
I'd love to talk with you after. You can come up here. We'd love to pray with you. If you are a newcomer or a visitor, you can go. There's a nice next step table right up to your right out here. If you want to know what you have questions about what we're doing as a church, or there's little welcome cards in the pews in front of you too. If you fill that out, you can get on our email list. You know what we have going on throughout the week. In your bulletin as well there, you can find some events that we have going on. Big one is Christmas Eve service this Wednesday at 5 p.m. We'll have a candlelight service. Just a heads up, there'll be no nursery, no children's church for that, but lit candles. So kids, come. That's probably your favorite time, right? We handed out, just to encourage you too, Jeff brought up earlier, we printed 400 invitations and all those went out. They got wiped out. So, but still invite friends and family to come and find redemption that can only be found in Christ. We'll hear majorly about that in Ruth chapter 4. As you heard, Stan's preaching next Sunday, Lord willing. So pray for Stan. That'll be a blessing for all of us. Thank you, Stan, for doing that next Sunday. That'll be great. There is a women's event called the Bible Bandit on January 10th. You should just sign up because of the name anyway. You might not even know what it is. But you can check in at the welcome table, sign up there. There's a couple of clipboards, or you can sign up online for that. There's the traditional Swedish Christmas morning service, 6:30 a.m. at South Woodstock, if you want to check that out as well. Just a heads up, Stan will be preaching next week, and then we're going to hop into 2 Corinthians. So I know some of you like buying scripture journals. There's no NIV scripture journal I know of, but there's ESV ones that are on sale for Christmas right now, like $4 if you want to buy one. But we'll walk through 2 Corinthians starting in that first week of January there. All right, hear the benediction again from Psalm 72, same one from last week, but I want to put it before you again. I think a great longing for the second coming text. This is Psalm 72, starting verse 17. May his name endure forever. May it continue as long as the sun. Then all nations will be blessed through him, and they will call him blessed. Praise to the Lord God, the God of Israel, who alone does marvelous deeds. Praise be to his glorious name forever. May the whole earth be filled with his glory. Amen and amen. Let's sing the doxology together. Merry Christmas if we don't see you, but if not, we'll see you Wednesday night, and I'll say it again then. Good to be with you.